Okay, we're beginning here five lines down on the top of Chof Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the position that was established by Rava to explain what Yom HaKippurim is mechaper on and what Yom HaKippurim is unsuccessful at being mechaper on. And the conclusion was that it is mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem, those things that chet she'in makir bo al hamakom, Yom HaKippurim mechaper, things that only God knows about, Yom Kippur takes care of, and that would be an Hasham Talui, because the whole basis or premise of the Hasham Talui is something that where you have a lack of knowledge. And therefore, Yom HaKippurim can replace or can be mechaper for that which an Hasham Talui would have done. On the other hand, when it comes to an Hasham Vadai, over there Yom Kippur is unsuccessful at being mechaper for it, because that's a chet shemakir bo, the chet that he knows about, things where the yodah bo, things that you know about, lo mechaper. And therefore, an Hasham Vadai and a chatat, where you know about the chet before Yom HaKippurim will not be successful at being mechaper for such a chet. Now the Gemara is going to query through a number of items whereby we have situations where it sounds like an individual does or does not know the information, and we find different outcomes with regards to Yom HaKippurim. Vama Rav Tachlifa, Avua de Rav Huna Mishmei de Rava, Chayvei Malkiot, Shavar Leem Yom HaKippurim, Chayav. Someone who was Chayav Malkot before Yom HaKippurim, if Yom HaKippurim passes before that sentence is carried out, he's still chayav to get those malkot. Bishita, the Gemara says, why would you think otherwise? Maishnami chayvei chatot vashamot vadayin. Didn't we just establish with regards to chatot and hashamot that if you have the knowledge beforehand, that Yom HaKippurim is not successful at creating that kapara or supplanting the need to bring those korbanot? So why over here would you think that Yom Kippur, where you know the person is deserving of a chiyuv malkot, that they would then not need to get the malkot afterwards? Gemara says, sakadat kamina hatam mimonahu. Over there, it's a monetary obligation. And as we discussed before, Yom Kippur is successful at providing kapara. What it can't do is discharge obligations. And therefore, it can bring you kapara. It can't pay off monetary obligations that you have, or even maybe korbanot obligations that you have, or haksharot that you need, being mitaher you from tuma, that Yom HaKippurim does not provide. It only provides kapara. And therefore, you would have thought, with regards to the korbanot, since it's an obligation on you, a monetary obligation to pay for these korbanot, or even if the korbanot are korbanot of hakshara, you need that hakshara, and therefore Yom Kippur is unable to provide that. That's why those items are still extant after Yom HaKippurim, and Yom HaKippurim is not bechaper for them. V'halcha de gufahu, over here, where the guards to the malkot, where it's corporal punishment, where it's actually something where you're going to suffer punishment as the kapara, a malo, maybe over there Yom HaKippurim can provide that kapara, kamash malan, that we don't say that, and we say that if you have knowledge of it beforehand, Yom HaKippurim is unsuccessful at being mechapa for it. Mar says, v'anan tanan. Is that really true, that it's unsuccessful? We have the Mishnah in Shavuot, as well as the Gemara that describes in Yoma, hoda velo hoda, ase velo tase, when it has to do with whether he knows or doesn't know a mitzvah tase or a mitzvah lo tase, Yom HaKippurim is mechaper for all of those items. So that means that even if you knew about a mitzvah lo tase, sounds like Yom HaKippurim would be successful providing that kapara. You just told me it was not successful providing that kapara, and you'd still get malkot. It says lo kasha, hada atribe, hada lo atribe. Depends if you have hatra'ah or you don't have hatra'ah. Meaning that if a person violates it b'mezid, and therefore he should be subject to malkot, that only happens if he had edim v'hatra'ah, witnesses that witnessed him doing this event and warned him beforehand not to do it, then he's subject to malkot ayidei beit din. In that situation, the statement of Rava is true, that the chayvei malkiot on Yom HaKippurim will not provide kapara for those malkiot, and you'll still get them afterwards. On the other hand, if you violate it in a situation where there was no hatra'ah, therefore you're chayav malkot, but you're never going to get them because of the fact that you're missing procedurally hatra'ah in order to be mechayev you in malkot, there Yom HaKippurim will be successful at being mechaper for that violation of the lo ta'aseh. That'll explain the Mishnah in Shavuot that says hoda v'lo hoda'as aseh v'lo ta'aseh, the sayer mishtaleach will provide that kapara for a lo ta'aseh that is violated even b'mezid, as long as there was no hatra'ah that obligated you in receiving malkot. But once it's already been relegated to the Beit Din Shel Mato, the Beit Din Shel Mato has to do whatever is incumbent upon it, and Yom HaKippurim cannot discharge that obligation, cannot remove that obligation. So again, it can provide kapara, it cannot remove obligations, and over here, the Beit Din Shel Mato has an obligation to give this individual makot, or this person has an obligation to receive makot, that Yom HaKippurim can't undermine, or that can't be mechaper, or Yom HaKippurim can't be mechaper for, and therefore you will have a situation in which you're still chayav malkiot after Yom HaKippurim, even though Yom Kippur will be successful at removing a lotaseh that you violated even b'mezid, as long as there was no hatrah, as long as there was no obligation of malkiot. Now the Gemara says about this, safek yoledet, shavar le Yom HaKippurim, lotaiteh. Safek yoledet has made a korban mi safek, an olat of, and a chatat of, and she makes a tenai by the olat of, and she brings the chatat of mi safek in order to release her from this safek and allow her then to eat kodesh and enter into the mikdash. But maybe after Yom HaKippurim, she shouldn't have to bring it. Daha ki beraleha Yom HaKippurim, because Yom HaKippurim provides kapara for her. The chet she'enu makir bo olam makom. This qualifies for the items that Rava says Yom HaKippurim is successful at being mechaper for, which are items that are not recognized by anyone besides Hashem. And here we have an issue of safek, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware as to whether this woman is tmeah tumat leida or she is not, and therefore it should be something that's qualified for the kapara of Yom HaKippurim. Then we bring the pasuk that says it only provides kapara l'chol chatatam velo l'chol tumatam. Because when it comes to this Sayyir and Mishtalech, it says, Vitvada alav et kol avanot b'nei se'av et kol pishahem l'chol chatotam. The pasuk provides kapara for chatat, for things that are requiring kapara, for those things that are sins, but not l'tumatan. What it can't provide, or what it can't do, is be machshir or mitaher. Again, similar to what we noted before, Yom HaKippurim is a day of kapara, so therefore it can provide that kapara. What it can't do is replace other procedural items that you need, including to be machshir someone, or to be metaher someone. And over here, the reason this yoledet is bringing these korbanot is in order to release her from the tumat leida, and that Yom HaKippurim can't deal with. But then the Gemara queries from the position of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that we find in the Gemara in Nidah, which is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Tamar yoledet chotat hi, that a yoledet is considered to be a sinner, and therefore her korbanot come to provide kapara. Ma'ika the Maymar. Then what are you going to say here? Then it should work because she does require kapara. The whole purpose of her bringing a chatat is because there is a chait. That chait, according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, is that when she is bitzar leida, she takes a shvua that she will not be nistakek le ba'ala. She will not get together with her husband again because the pain of birthing is so great that she doesn't want to undergo pain of birthing, doesn't want to go through it another time. And so therefore she brings a chatat to be mechaper for that shvua that she took in the heat of the moment, then why is it that she shouldn't attain kapara through Yom HaKippurim? The answer of the Gemara is, yoledet ki maiti korban lishturei ba'achilat kodoshim hu. The reason the yoledet brings the korban is to facilitate her ability to eat kodoshim, enter into the mikdash, basically to make her tehora mi tumata leida, velo lechapara matyam, and she doesn't bring it for kapara. Well then, what accomplishes that which Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai has said that the point of this is to provide kapara? Rashi claims over here, de hamichapra bishat leida, that she gets kapara through the time of leida, or the other girsa that the Bach brings in tsar leida, and you can see that similar girsa in the Shita Mikubetzet Otei, where he says that other tzvarim achirim, right, mitzara michaper la, that the pain of the leida is what provides the kapara for that sin, quote unquote, and therefore the korbanot are simply korbanot of hachshara. And you see a similar sentiment in the Rabbeinu Gershom, but he says the yemei tuma, yemei tahara, those days of tuma and tahara afterwards, they provide the kapara for the woman, and the korbanot are simply machshir her or mitaher her in order to return her ability to eat kodoshim and enter into the mikdash. Lulei divrehem of the Rishonim over here, I would have said that the statement of the Gemara is not a statement that is exclusive, but rather it's telling you what the primary purpose of the Korban is. Yes, it might be that the Chatat Ha'of of the Yoledet comes, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, to provide some Kapara. That's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is Hakshara. It happens to be, as an aside, it also provides Kapara. And then you could explain that in one of two ways, which is either because its primary purpose is Hakshara, therefore Yom HaKippurim doesn't provide or replace it, and the kapara comes through this korban and not through Yom HaKippurim. Or even if you want to say now that the kapara is provided by Yom HaKippurim, that only takes care of the ancillary item that is covered by this korban, which is the kapara. Yes, it takes care of the kapara, but the primary purpose is still hakshara. And that's why she still needs to bring her korbanot, because even though maybe she attained the kapara, she still hasn't attained the akshara. So that's how I would have read the Gemara, saying that the korban's primary purpose is lishtirue v'achilat kodoshim, and therefore the kapara is either then just ancillary and still remains after Yom Kippur, or even if Yom Kippur takes care of it, it doesn't change the fact that she still needs to bring the korbanot for their primary purpose. Amar Rav Ashi, apanana mitanina. We have it in our Mishnah. Aisha, sheyesh la chatat of safek. A woman who is chayevet to bring chatat of misafek, meaning a korbanot leida misafek. Barvada yom kippurim. And yom kippurim passes by. Chayevet avila chay yom kippurim. She has to bring it after yom kippurim. Mipnei shemichasharta lechol bizvachim. Because it provides her the ability, or facilitates her ability to be tehora, and then partake in kodoshim. So that's why Yom Kippur will not be successful at eliminating that obligation. Elamiata, what about a case of Safek Mitzora? A Mitzora who is uncertain as to whether he is Tamei Tumat Mitzora or not Tamei Tumat Mitzora, and therefore he has to go through a Tahara process that involves a Safek in it. He doesn't know for certain, so therefore Shavar Lav Yom Kippurim, if Yom Kippurim passes in the interim, Lo Maiti, maybe he shouldn't have to bring it. Da'avar Lav Yom Kippurim, the Chet Sheinu Makir Bo, Ela Makomo, because it's a Chet, or it's an issue by which nobody is aware of whether he is or isn't Tamei. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. And therefore, why can't Yom HaKippurim provide the kapara that is needed by this mitzora who is bisafek as to whether he needs to bring the korbanot of the mitzora, or doesn't need to bring them, and therefore has to work through bringing these korbanot misafek, making it tanai, whether it is a korban nedava or a korban chuva, and then also bringing the chatat of, which can be brought ala safek, to be his chatat. So again, the Gemara answers the same way. The purpose of the korbanot of the mitzora are to provide him tara, not to provide him kapara. And therefore, Yom Kippur is only successful at eliminating the need for kapara, doesn't eliminate the need for tara. V'amar Rab Shmuel bar Nachmani, amar Rabbi Yochanan al Zayin Devarim Nigaim Bayim. There are seven things that cause the Nigaim to come. That's from the Gemara in Arachim that we learned, that there are seven different things, and it's brought here the siman of the seven things, Gagag Shashlatz, which are the first letters of all those items that precipitate a person being punished with Tzorat, which means that the Tzorat is really coming as a kapara. So then, again, the Gemara answers similar to what it did back by the Yoledet, Mitzora, ki maiti lav le kapara maiti. The purpose of the korbanot for the Mitzora is not for kapara, elish duruye b'achilat kodoshimo. It's to permit them or to release them to eat kodoshim. Again, here, then, what happens to the kapara aspect of it? So here, Rashi says, diminago ichaper le mitzar hanega nitchaper chatao. The kapara that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about is from his actual having of the nega, and the tzar of the nega is what provides the kapara. And similarly, the Rabbeinu Gershom bring, and you have a similar Gersha in the Shita Mekubetz, in the Rotchet, mitzora, minage ichaper le, that the negaim provide the kapara, is being pushed out of the community, being isolated outside, all the other trappings of being a mitzora, that's what provides the kapara for him. And the korbanot are simply to be mitaharim. Once again over here, I would have read the Gemara saying that the primary purpose of the korbanot of the mitzora is to bring hakshara or tahara to the mitzora. It's only an ancillary item that it also provides kapara. And once again, you could formulate it the way we did by Yoledet, either the kapara is taken care of by Yom Kippur, but that doesn't matter because the primary purpose is still hakshara. Or even if you say that Yom Kippur doesn't take care of it because it is an item that's connected to the hakshara, and therefore it still needs to be brought, the primary korban, and it will provide the kapara as well because you still have to do the hakshara or the tahara in order to allow this individual to enter into the mikdash and to return to eating kodoshim. Elamiato. I asked about a safek nazir, shavar lav yom kippurim. A nazir who is a safek as to whether he became tamei or did not become tamei, which would have undermined his nizirut, and then he has to bring his korbanot nazir tamei in order to allow him to restart his nizirut bitara. As Rashi notes over here, it can't be a safek nazir whether he is or isn't a nazir by nizirut tara, because over there you could solve the problem. You just take a neder that is conditioned on whether you do or do not need to be a nazir. You say, if I'm already a Nazir, then I'm going to continue with my Nazirut now. If I'm not a Nazir, I'm accepting upon myself a Neder Nazirut for this amount of time. And at the end, Mimanav Shach is going to be Chayav the Korbanot. So that's easy solution. But with a sefek nazir tamei, we don't have a solution to that problem. And then he has to bring the korbanot misafek, which he can't do again because the requirements of a nazir are to bring an asham nazir and then to bring a chatat and an ola. And those can be brought from birds. And so once again, you can bring the korbanot misafek. So once again, why can't you say, if Yom HaKippurim, Shavar Lav Yom HaKippurim, Lo Maiti Korban, you shouldn't have to bring the Korban anymore. The HaKippur, Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur should provide the Kapara. The Chet Shein Makir Bo'olam HaKomo. Once again, it's a Chet or a problem that is only known by God. That's why there's a Safek over here, and that's why we don't know what the situation is with regards to this Nazir. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, L'chol Chatutam, Lo L'chol Tumatam. The same answer that we've given all along, which is, Yom HaKippurim could provide Kapara, it cannot provide Tahara. And therefore, the Yom HaKippurim does nothing to change the status quo of this Nazir, the Safek Tuma, because he needs to get a Hatara, he needs a Hakshara, in order to start his Nazirut B'Tahara. Rabbi Elazar ben HaKafar, Damar Nazir Chotehu. What about according to Rabbi Elazar ben HaKafar, who says that Nazir is a Chotehu? Because he says, Shetzir Atzmo Min Hayayim, because he withheld himself from drinking wine, that is his Chet, and therefore he needs Kaparovir. Maika the Maymar, then why can't Yom HaKippurim provide that kapara? Nazir, kika maiti korban, lav le kapara maiti. When the Nazir brings his korban, he's not bringing it to provide kapara from himself. Ela, the way that we have the Girsa here is the mechel alav nizirut bitarahu. It's in order to facilitate his ability to start his nizirut bitara. Because as far as kodashim are concerned, as soon as he's mitahir himself from tumata meit, even though he doesn't misafek, he gets sprinkled on the third and seventh day, and waits the 7 days, as soon as he's cleared of his tuma, he can eat kodashim. He doesn't have to bring any korbanot in order to eat kodashim. The only thing that is left is that he still needs to deal with his nizirut b'tahara. That's what he needs the korbanot for. So the korbanot are a facilitator of his ability to continue his nizirut b'tahara, not to provide kapara. So then what is the kapara that is given to him for this sin, quote-unquote, that Rabbi Elazar ben HaKafar says that the nazir is engaged in? So Rashi says, he is nitchaper by the fact that he has to grow out his hair. From here, it sounds like in Rashi that we're speaking about a nazir bitara, that the growing out of the hair is the nivul that is associated with that. Now, there is a problem in the Gemara in Nazir as to whether Rabbi Elazar ben HaKafar's statement was said about a nazir tahor or said about a nazir tameh. It makes more sense, and it is more compelling to say that it's said about a Nazir Tameh than a Nazir Tahor. But there are many times in the Gemara that it seems to bring a Elazar ben HaKafar, even with regards to a Nazir Tahor. And that's interesting because the way the Gemara ended off, and the way that we have the Girsa in the Gemara, it seems to be talking about a Nazir Tameh because it says he needs to bring the Korbanot in order to facilitate his Nazirut B'Tahara. And therefore it sounds like we're talking about a Nazir Tameh. And therefore why is the Kapara growing out his hair? It should be the kapara has to do with something to do with the nazir tamei, which undermined his nizirut. You could say that Rashi is saying he had to grow his hair out once, and now he'll have to do it again, and maybe that's the nivul that he's going to suffer. Although the Rabbeinu Gershom's explanation seems to be more compelling, which is the giluach se'aro michaper chatato, the shaving of his head, which he needs to do, a nazir bitum'ah, needs to shave his head and cut his hair off completely in order to restart his nizirut. So that would be the nivul that is associated with it, and maybe that's what Rashi is referring to, not really the gidul sayar, but the shaving of the head that facilitates his ability to grow the hair afterwards. And again, that would be more compelling, because that would be speaking about a nazir bituma. Although, the Tosafot in Sota raises the issue, which is that the Gemara in Sota says the reason a chatat nazir doesn't require nisachim is because the korban comes to be mechaper ochet, shetzir atzmo min hayayin. And then Tosafot over there asks, well, what about our Gemara that says that it's not brought the kapara? So now, if you say again that the primary purpose of the korban is the hakshir, and ancillary to that it is the kapara, then you could answer the question simply in that manner, which is that, yes, its primary purpose is hakshira. It does have an aspect of kapara. That aspect of kapara obviates the need for nisachim with regards to the chatat nazir. But the Tosafot leaves it as a tzarachiyun. But if you look in the Shita Mekubetzet on Daf Chavzayin Amar Aleph Ot Chafei in the back by the Chidushim, he says that that's not a question, because one is talking about the Chatat of a Nazir Tamei, and one of them is talking about a Chatat of a Nazir Tahor. The Vadai Korbanot Nazir Tahor Bayim Al HaChet. The Korbanot of a Nazir Tahor do come to deal with the Chet.
Aval Nazir Tameh, with regards to Nazir Tameh, Yochol Liot Einam Ba'im Alachet, that they don't come for the Chet, Elamelech Alei Nizirut B'Tahara, in order to facilitate the Nizirut B'Tahara. He seems to be answering that question of the Baalei Tosafot and saying, our Gemara is talking about a Nazir Tameh, whereas the Gemara in Sotah is talking about, or speaking about a Nazir Tahor. And that way you can answer the question that the Baalei Tosafot raised. The Baalei Tosafot themselves don't answer that. And that might likely be connected to the fact that they over here have an alternate girsa, which is one possibility like the girsa that we have, Elamecha Aleni Zirut B'Tahara, but they do bring a second girsa over there, which is Inami in the Mishrei Nafshei B'Yayin. It releases him in order to drink wine. If that's the case, then we could be speaking about a Nazir B'Tahara over here, and not only Nazir B'Tumah, because the ability to release oneself from the restriction of wine, which is the problem that Rav Elazar HaKuppar raises, is only facilitated by your bringing of the korbanot, and then it could be both the korbanot of a Nazir Tameh, as well as the korbanot of a Nazir Tahor. If you say that, then our Gemara is talking about a Nazir Tahor as well, and that's why the Tosfot leaves it as a Tzarech Iyun, because he thinks our Gemara and the Gemara in Sotah are speaking about a Nazir Tahor. And then Rashi's statement about Nivul of the Gidul Seyar would make sense. Although it's clear Rashi's Girsa is the Girsa like we have in the Gemara, it's talking about a Nazir Tameh, and Rashi just before said, the Safek has to be a Nazir Tameh, not a Nazir Tahor. But according to the Baalei Tosafot, this could even apply by a Safek Nazir Tahor, or a Nazir Tahor that has to finish up after becoming Tameh, and therefore the Korbanot that he brings at the end are facilitating his ability to drink wine again, because they release him from the Nazirut. It's not just that they allow him then to start counting Nazirut B'Tahara, and then you could explain Rav Elazar HaKuppar as referencing to a Nazir Tahor, that he is a choteh because he's shetzir atzmo min hayayin, because he withheld from himself the drinking of wine. So now the Gemara says, Ela me'ata safek sota shaver alei yom ha'kippurim lo taiti. What about a safek sota that passed through yom ha'kippurim? She shouldn't have to bring her korban mincha afterwards. Da kiper alei yom ha'kippurim. There, yom ha'kippurim provided the kapara. Dechet she'in makir bo ela makom. Only a God knows the truth about this situation as to whether this woman had an extramarital affair or not. Again, Amar Rabbi Shaya, the Chol Chatutam, below the Chol Tumatam. Here, you need to release the woman from her status of being Asura, and therefore the Korban Mincha is not coming to provide Kapara, but it's rather coming to trying to release her from the restriction now with regards to her husband, and not to be Mechaper on any Avon. Abaye Amar, Boel Makir Bo. Wait a minute. This is not a case where only a God knows about it. The truth is that the Boel, the person who had the extramarital affair with her, knows whether there was or wasn't anything that was done illicitly. So that's the reason you don't work over here. You don't need Rabbi Oshaya in this case. It's simply because the Boel is Makirbo, therefore it's not just a Chet in Makirbo la Makom. Rav Amar Sota Kimatya Livarer Avon Kaatya. Rav says, well, with regards to the Sota, it has nothing to do with kaparat avonot. It comes to clarify the status of the woman. And as we saw before, when it comes to birur avon, Yom HaKippurim doesn't provide that service. And therefore Yom HaKippurim does not provide the kapara, quote-unquote, tebi mevarer avon, because that's something that's a procedure that is trying to clarify a situation for us. It's not trying to provide kapara. So it seems from here that there is a boel involved, and therefore it's not a chet that only a Kodesh Baruch Hu recognizes. And the Rabbeinu Gershom asks, what about the woman herself? She's aware of whether the sin happened or the sin didn't happen. We are uncertain as to whether it happened or not, but she's not uncertain as whether it happened or not. And therefore, why doesn't the Abaye say that the woman herself knows? So he says over here, V'sota makeret lo kamar. The reason it doesn't say about the sota that she recognizes it, Mishom de'ihi have chaticha de'isura. Because she is the object of all of this fuss over here. She has already become a chatichat asura, and her knowledge or lack of knowledge here is not the issue or not at issue here. The only question is for the Baal, for the husband, what is his relationship with this woman anymore? As far as the woman is concerned, she made herself into a chatichat asura, and therefore, from her perspective, there's nothing to be determined over here because of the fact that she put herself into this predicament. Therefore, her knowledge is not so important. Or, he says, Ikadamar, idi v'idi makirin, v'chadaminayu nakat, en hochanami. It's the fact that the Boel and the Sota know the truth. He just mentions one of the two of them, but the truth is that there are two parties that have the knowledge over here, and that's why it's not echet shajas makir bo hamakom. if you don't use those answers of the Rabbeinu Gershom, then you would have to find other ways as to why the woman herself is not counted here, either because maybe she does not know the information. For instance, if it was a safek as to whether her husband or the other individual had biyah with her in this seclusion situation, or she was sleeping, she was drunk, she doesn't have the information, and therefore she is not aware of the information. That's one way to deal with it. Or the other way to deal with it is to say that she makes a claim of certainty that she did not have an extramarital affair, and therefore she doesn't have, quote-unquote, the knowledge of the chait because of her stand that she's taking, that she feels that she's innocent over here, and therefore she doesn't know about the chait, and therefore Yom Kippur can't provide a kapara for someone who says that they never did such a sin. And that may be what is Rava's svara over here, which is that Abayi says somebody knows the information. Rava might be saying the person who knows the information is not the person bringing the kapara or trying to attain the quote-unquote kapara over here. That is because the Boel might know, but the Isha might not have that information, and she's the one bringing the korban. And since she's the one bringing the korban, she doesn't have the knowledge, and therefore it's classified as something that Enu Makir Boel HaMakom, that only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, vis-a-vis this woman, because she doesn't have the information that she would need in order to have that knowledge when she's bringing this korban. But if that's the case, then that would mean that Rova would agree if the woman did know the information, then there would be no question here, because then Yom HaKippurim would not have the possibility of being mechaper over here. Elei Miato, if that is the case, then Egla Rufa, Shavar Le Yom HaKippurim. If you have Egla Rufa, which Yom HaKippurim has already passed by, then why doesn't Yom HaKippurim take care of the kapara? So Abayi answers the same way he answered before, which is Amar Abayi, Horeg Makir. The killer over here knows or has the information, and therefore it's not a situation that Lo Yada by Ela Makom, that only God knows about the situation. Whereas Rava Amar Amakra, the Pasuk says with regards to the Egla Rufa, La'aretz lo yuchupar l'dam asher shupach ba, ela b'dam shofko, that the kapara that is provided here only comes through the elimination of the individual who murdered. First of all, Rava again is suggesting that the yediyah of the murderer over here is not relevant. And once again, we could say that's possibly because the murderer over here is not the one for whom the kapara is being brought for. And that is because the kapara of the Egla Rufa is either for the aretz, and first of all, maybe Yom HaKippurim can't provide the kapara for the aretz, or it's bringing the kapara or providing the kapara for the individuals like Ziknei Ha'ir or the Am itself that did not take care of this situation or did not prevent this situation from happening. It's preventing kapara. As far as they're concerned, they don't have the information. And therefore, the Egla Rufa is something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who knows the answer. And then the response to that is either the kapara of the Egla Rufa is provided to the Aretz, which Yom HaKippurim does not provide for, or the Rabbeinu Gershom says over here, Tegla lo mechapra la horeg, it's not coming for the killer, Tamarkra la aretz lo yichupar ba ki medam shofcho, it's actually coming for the people of the city. And as far as the people of the city are concerned, they are vadai chayavin over here. They did something wrong, because that's why there is a victim that is laying on the ground and we have no idea who the murderer is. And therefore they are definitely wrong over here, and Yom HaKippurim can't provide kapara for individuals who know that they've done something wrong. So that's another way to explain what Rava is indicating over here. But Papa Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Kapar L'amcha Yisrael Asher Padita, that is the end of the process of the Egla Rufa, that you will provide kapara for the people that Asher Padita, those that you redeemed. And the Gemara is learning, those that you redeemed, meaning Ruya Kapara Zush, Tichapera Yotzei Mitzrayim. Asher Padita, those that you redeemed from Mitzrayim, the Egla Rufa provides kapara for that. If that's the case, then for sure, numerous Yom HaKippurim have passed already, and yet we're still saying they need this kapara. Whether this kapara is for those that left Mitzrayim, and they had a problem of a murder that was unsolved, and therefore they needed to bring an Egla Rufa, but the Egla Rufa was not brought in the Midbar, only in the Aretz, and therefore, cumulatively, when the Eglot Arufot were brought in the Aretz, they go back and provide kapara for all of those corpses that were not taken care of. Or the way you can explain it is that simply the Egla Rufa here, where we know about the problem, also takes care of other situations in which there was a corpse where we didn't know who the murderer was, but we also didn't find the body, or we didn't do an Egla Rufa. This will take care of all of those situations between the time they left Mitzrayim till now, anything that wasn't taken care of, this will take care of. Now, if that's the case, it's clear that over those couple hundred years, every year, Yom HaKippurim has gone by, and yet we still require a kapara of Egla Rufa. What that shows you is that whatever the kapara of Egla Rufa is providing, Yom HaKippurim is certainly not taking care of it, because the pasuk tells you afterwards that this is providing retroactive kapara, either to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to those that were in the Midbar, to those that lived in other generations, whereby they had this problem, but they couldn't bring an Egla Rufa. And that shows you that Yom HaKippurim is not successful at providing that kapara. Hashto, damart, chen shem makir bo'olam akom, Yom HaKippurim mechaper, ema kimidyadele, batar Yom HaKippurim, nami lo maiti chadat. So then, wait a minute. As we noted already before, this limud only helps you if you knew about the chiyuv chatat and asham beforehand. Therefore, Yom HaKippurim is not successful at being mechaper for it, because it's only mechaper on things that you don't know about, or things that only a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows about, lifnei Hashem. But what happens in a situation where you're chayav a chatat on asham, but you don't know that before Yom HaKippurim, and you only find out after the fact that you are chayav? That was also a case that on Yom HaKippurim only Hashem knew about it, and therefore Yom HaKippurim should then absolve you of the need to bring a chatat or a korban asham after Yom HaKippurim. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here, because that is a chet she'en makir bo olam akom, and therefore if it comes after Yom HaKippurim, that knowledge, then you shouldn't have to bring a chatat. Amar Rabbi Zera lo matzi damart, you can't say that, d'chtiv kray yedi'ah gabei chatat. That is because by the chatat, the pasuk specifies that you have to have a yedi'ah. Knowledge is what triggers the need to bring a chatat. V'gabi nasi, v'gabi tzibur, v'gabi yachid. It writes by the korbanot of the chataot in Perak Dalet in Vayikra, by the korban chatat of the nasi, the korban chatat of the tzibur, which is the parhelim dover shel tzibur, as well as the chatat yachid. In all three of those places, it mentions the word yedi'ah, and the Gemara is now going to explain why that matters, but one of them is extraneous, and that extraneous yedi'ah is going to teach us this din, that even when the yedi'ah comes post Yom HaKippurim, you're still chayav in a chatat. And that is because it says in Perek Dalet, v'im kol adat yisrael yishgul v'nei alam davar minei ha-kahal, v'asu achat mikol mitzvot Hashem ha-shol ta-senev ha-shemu, this is the paralema davar shel tzibur, and it says, v'nodah chatat asher chatu ala. And then they become aware of the chatat. So there you have a yediyah that triggers the need for a chatat with regards to paralam davar shel tzibur. Also by the nasi, asher nasi yachata. Vasa achat mikol mitzvot Hashem elokah v'shelo taasena v'shkaga v'ashem. Ohodai lav chatato asher chatabah v'viyed korbano sirizim zachar tamim. So once he gets knowledge, then he has to bring his korban chatat. And then also by a korban chatat of a yachid, it says, v'im nefesh achat techata v'shkaga me'am aretz, v'asota achat mimitzvot Hashem ashelo taasena v'ashem, ohodai lav chatato asher chata, v'im korbano siret izin t'mimah nekeva chatato asher chata. So once again there, the knowledge is what triggers the need for chatat. So you have this idea that's written by the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur, by the Nasi, and by the korban yachid of a chatat. V'tzrichim, and we need all three of them. Had you only written the yediyah by yachid, you can't learn out nasi and tzibur from the yachid. Because you can undermine a kal v'chomer. Because the korbanot of a yachid are nekevot, which are a lower standard of korban, they're generally cheaper because they're more available, and therefore you see in the Torah, the more severe the problem, then the more likely it is to have a zachar, including all korbanot and tzibur come from a zakhar, and more, and things that are higher forms of violations also require a zakhar. So since the yachid has a nikeva, maybe that's why you need the yediyah, and the yediyah is what then facilitates the ability or the need to bring the korban. But maybe by the nasi, and by the parim davar shel tzibur, the nasi brings a sa'ir, which is a zakhar, and the parim davar shel tzibur, which is a par, which is also a zakhar, maybe over there they wouldn't need yediyah in order to trigger the need for a korban. Even when they didn't know or they were safek, they'd have to bring it. So therefore, you'd have to write it by both of them because you couldn't learn it out from the yachid. Nichtov gami nasi. So let's write it by nasi. V'naiti hanach min nasi. Let's learn out korban yachid, a chatat yachid, and the parlam davar shel tzibur from the nasi. Yachid min nasi lo ati. You can't learn out the yachid from the nasi. Te'ikal mifrach mal nasi shekein ein bishmiat kol. A nasi is not subject to the korbanot of shvuat ha'idut. That's because the melech ain't daninoto, ve'ain meidinoto. You don't bring him to court to judge him. You don't bring him as an aid in a case. And so therefore he's not subject to the din of Kurban Olor B'Yoreid by Shmiat Kol. Tomar B'Yachid, you can't Yeshno B'Shmiat Kol, but a Yachid does have the din of Shuat Eidut. So maybe that's a Chumrah that won't allow you to bring the Yediyah from Nasi to a Yachid. B'Tzibor M'Nasi Lo Ati. And then the Tzibor you can't learn out from Nasi. D'Igla Mifrach, Mala Nasi Shekein Kurbano Nekeva, where he does have some manifestations of Nekeva, and that is by Avodah Zarah. In Parshat Shlach, when it speaks about the Kurbanot of Avodah Zarah, where you're bringing a Chatat, here by Perak Dalet and Vayikra, where it's being met other Averot, there the Nasi brings the Seir. But in Shlach, there's only differentiation between the Tzibor and Yechidim, and therefore the Nasi becomes like a Yachid, and over there he brings a Kurban B'Nekeva. So maybe that's why he needs Yediyah. But the Korbanot Tzibor, which are Par, Helam Dabar Shel Tzibor, or the Seir of Avodah Zarah, where they're always males, maybe there you couldn't learn that the need for Yediyah. Over here, the Shita Mikubetzet asks a very interesting question. He says, well, the Havamina here is the fact that had you not written Yediyah by Yachid, that you would bring a Korban Chatat, even al Safek. And the Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Yudzayin asks, well, then what would the Asham Taloi be coming for? If an Asham Taloi is brought al Safek, and now you're telling me that a chatat would also be brought on a safek had it not written yediyah, then what's the difference between a chatat and a kosham talui? Here brings a number of possible answers. He says, v'yesh lamar, if he had a safek chelev, and then another safek chelev, and he only knows about one of them, umayti chatat, and then he brings a chatat, v'nit chaper al shnehem. That chatat will be mechaper for both of them. Then, once he knows about the second one, he can't bring another chatat, kvar nit chaper by the chatat rishonah. So then, that's when he would bring a Asham Talui. Maybe that's the one scenario. Or, another possibility is, you read the Vadai ala Safek lo Maiti Chatat el Asham Talui. Or another possibility is that no, you wouldn't bring a Chatat and a Safek, you'd only bring an Asham Talui. But, Umiyu, Sakadatcha, you would have thought that you could get Kapara even without Yediyah. Again, a situation, a two pieces of Chelev in one Helam, in one forgetting. And he only finds out about one of them, then there's a Havamino that the Chatat that you bring would take care of both the one that you know about, as well as the one that you don't know about. But if it was only a situation of safek, then you could only bring an Asham Taloi, not a Kurban Chatat. So that's how you would differentiate between them. Oh, it's strictly inyan hadamar leal. Because we have situations in which an Asham Taloi doesn't work. An Asham Taloi, according to those that require it, be achat mishtei chatikot. In a case where there are no shtei chatikot, maybe that's the case where you'd bring a Chatat and not an Asham Taloi. Oh, or the case is you have to come to it of your own volition, not others. Edim can't impose an Asham Taloi on you. In all those cases, you're patur from an Asham Taloi. Maybe that's where you bring a Chatat. It's an interesting Shita Mekubetz that tries to deal with what would happen if a Chatat was brought al Safek. How would that be differentiated from an Asham Taloi? Can't write it by the Yachid. Can't write it by the Nasi. Nichtov Gabi Tzibur. Maybe let's write it by the Tzibur and we'll night the Yachid and Nasi Mino. Extrapolate from there. And we'll learn out the Yachid and Nasi from that. Ika the Mavrach, Malat Tzibur, Shukainan Yachavin, Alahelem Davar, Im Shigigat Maseh. Because the Tzibor doesn't have the same requirements in terms of the violation Bishkaga. They're not Chayav where Helam Davar, they forgot about the Halacha, and then they did something wrong, which is the way that most Shogeg works, which is it's an unintentional violation. That's not the way that it works with regards to the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor, but rather over there we have a requirement that it is where Beit Din gave them a Psak that was incorrect, and therefore it was not a Helam Davar, it was the fact that Beit Din directed them. And then there was a Shigiyat Maser, because they acted upon the instructions of Beit Din. That's very different than the requirements that you have by a Nasi and a Yachid, where there you need Helam Davar, you need to forget the Halacha, not know the Halacha, and get an incorrect Psak that leads you to do the problematic behavior. So the Gemara says, okay, Mechada Yediyah Lo Atya. Any one of them having the word Yediyah, we can't extrapolate to the others. Tetechada Yediyah Mitarte. Let's say write it by two, and then the third one you would learn out from them. So now, Lo Nechtov Yediyah Gabi Yachid. So don't write it by the Yachid. And you'll write it by the Nasi and the Tzibor, and then you'll learn Yachid from that. The common denominator between a Nasi and a Tzibor is they're not subject to the din of Shvat Ha'idut, because Melech, again, Nasi, isn't subject to that. Obviously, the Tzibor is the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. There's no din of Shmiat Kol with regards to them. Tomar b'Yachid she'eshno b'Shmiat Kol. And therefore, maybe over there, the Yachid would bring it misafeg, and not just be Yediyah. So lo niktorav kra Yediyah gabi Tzibor. So don't write it by the Tzibor, but take them Yediyah de Yachid v'Nasi. And then write it by Yachid and Nasi, and we'll learn Tzibor for them. Ikad mefrach, mal Yachid v'Nasi, shekein yesh Kurban Nekeva. By Yachid and Nasi, they both bring Kurbanot of Nekeva. The Yachid all the time by a Chatat, and the Nasi when it's a Chatat of Avodah Zarah. Tomar b'Tzibor, she'ein b'Kurban Nekeva. The Sibor never has a Korban Akiva, so maybe over there you wouldn't need Yediyah. So the Gemara says, Lo Nichtov Gavi Nasi. Let us not write it by Nasi, but take them Yediyah, the Yachid, the Tzibor. And let us learn it out from the Yachid and the Tzibor. So my Parachta. So now what was the undermining thing that you would have said? Imishum Deinam B'Shmiat Kol. If you say that because they don't have Shmiat Kol, meaning the Tzibor, Vein Chayavim, Al Helm Davar, and you also say that they're not Chayav on Helm Davar, but rather on an incorrect Sak, Yachid Yochiach. The Yachid will undermine those Chumrot that are associated with the Tzibur and say that that's not true, because the Yachid has Helam Dovar, and the Yachid also has Shmiat Kol. And then, V'imishum D'yesh B'chol Korbano Nekeva, and if you say by the Yachid that his Kula is the fact that he always brings Korbanot V'nekeva, Tzibur Yochiach, that that's not the factor, because Tzibur, which has it all by Zacharim, also requires Yediyah. Deim B'Korbano Nekeva, Adit Lohon Yediyah Lo Mechayev, they don't have any Nekevot there, and still you require Yediyah. And therefore, in both of those situations, we require Yediyah, and you're not Chayav without Yediyah. So too by the Nasi, you should have the requirement of Yediyah. So then, Lamali Dichtiv Yediyah Gabi Nasi. Then why did it write Yediyah by Nasi, which is extraneous? That is because, in Winyan the Gufay, you don't need to teach me about the Nasi, because we could have learned that out from a Binyan Av, a Tzadah Shaveh between the Tzibur and the Yachid. Ta'achem Yachid V'Tzibur. T'nayu Inyan Lehecha Dimityadalei Batar Yom HaKiburim. Comes to teach you that even when you get knowledge of the problem after Yom HaKiburim, the mighty Chatat, you have to bring a Chatat. And even though technically Yom HaKiburim should have covered this issue because it's something that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about, nevertheless it doesn't do that because of the fact that you have this extra Yediyah telling you that even when the Yediyah is after Yom HaKiburim, you still Chayav a Chatat. Wait a minute, you can't learn out Nasi from Yachid and Tzibur. Because, Mishum Deikah LeMifrach, they have a common denominator between them. And once you have a common denominator, that might be the factor that necessitates the Yediyah. And if the other item doesn't have that common denominator between them, then maybe that's the reason it doesn't have a Yediyah over there, and that's why you'd have to write it. So, Mali Yachid B'Tzibur Shekein Asu'in Lishtanot. They don't change. The Tzibur is always the Tzibur. The Yachid is always a Yachid. Tomar B'Nasi. What about the Nasi? Shasu'in Lishtanot. He can change his status. He can go from being a layperson to the king, or from being the king to a layperson. In all likelihood, the more important change is from being a king. He can be deposed and then become a layperson, because otherwise then a layperson also could change, because a layperson could become the king. Although the truth is, you could find individuals who are disqualified from being the king, and therefore they could never change. And so you could say that that's the din of the Yachid. Or you could say that when a Yachid is elevated to a melech, they still are treated like the Yachid, whereas a Melech who's deposed down to a Yachid, there is a change in his Korban. In some situations, he will have to bring a Korban of the Yachid and not of the Melech. And so therefore, there is a change from the king's standing when he is the Nasi. Now, even though, as Rashi points out, this isn't a Kula or a Chumrah, nevertheless, when it comes to a Matzad, Matzad Parchinen Kodu, anything that creates a common denominator that could have been the reason for the need for Yediyah, that in itself is enough to undermine the Matzad. Over here, both the Yachid and the Tzibur are static. Maybe that's why they require Yediyah. But the Nasi, who may change his status, maybe over there you would not require Yediyah, and therefore you can't learn from the Yachid and the Tzibur to the Nasi. And again, not that it's a Chumra or a Kula, but simply that might be the trigger event, and the Nasi doesn't have that. And since he doesn't have it, you have to write Yediyah by Nasi, and it's no longer extraneous. Ella Amar Baye Meocha. This is where we learn it from. Michtei. Mitzvot, yid mitzvot, yalfei mehadodi. We have a gzereshava of mitzvot, which allows you to learn from one to the other. Meaning the word mitzvot is used both by the Yachid, by the Nasi, and by the Tzibur. And that's how we know, actually, the halacha, that only by aveirot, where b'mezid yurchayav karet, and b'shogeg yurchayav achatat, do all of these issues apply, that we learn out from the mitzvot. So we see that there is a cross-pollinization between the different types of chatot through this gezer shava, mitzvot. So, kevet yalfi me'adodi, since you already have that gezer shava in place, then you could have also passed the issue of yediyah from one to the other. So then, lama li dichtiv shlosh yediyot. So why then you have to write three yediyot? Gabi yachid, gabi nasib, gabi tzibur. Why do you have to write all three of them? Write it by one of them, and then you'll move it through the gezer shava of mitzvot. Menuinyan the gufayu. If it's not for them themselves, the ha-gamrei lehen mitzvot, you don't need the Yediyah there to tell you that you need Yediyah, because we were learned that out of the Gzer Shavah. Now, inyon heicha dimityadalei batar yom ha-kipurim, hu demaiti chatat, that comes to teach you that even when the Yediyah is post Yom HaKippurim, you still bring a Chatat. So, Ema, Kimijadalei Bata Yom HaKippurim, Hu Demaiti Chatat, Shum Di Yom HaKippurim, Lav Aladein Chet Kaati. Maybe when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, the reason that you have to bring a Chatat post Yom HaKippurim is because of the fact that the Yom Kippur does not necessarily provide kapara for that particular avera that you did. It provides a broader kapara. It's not specified or it's not specifically for the particular avera. Therefore, Yom HaKippurim doesn't have the power to provide that kapara. And therefore, after Yom HaKippurim, when there's a yediyah, you have to bring a korban chatat. Aval Hashem Toloi Dal Hadein Chet Kaati. But when you bring a Hashem Toloi and it's coming for that particular avera, Ema Hachanami De Mechaper. Maybe over there it should provide not only the protection, but also provide kapara, the mijade, the vata, the kamaiti, Hashem Toloi, then when he only finds out the information after he brought the Hashem Toloi, lo maiti chatat, you won't have to bring a chatat. Meaning that only time you'll bring a chatat is when you know that you've done something wrong. When you have that safek, you'll bring an Hashem Toloi, and the Hashem Toloi will suffice, not only to take care of the safek, but take care of it, period, because it's coming for that aveira. And maybe an Hashem Toloi should do all the work here, and you won't have to bring a chatat alone. Amarov, amakra, ohodai lav mikol makom. That the pasuk by the chatat says odai lav when he finds out about it, no matter when or in what situation or circumstance he finds out about it, then you have to bring a chatat. Mar says hashad amar kimiti adale mighty chatat. Now once you know about it, you have to bring a chatat. Hashem Toloi lama ba. Then why bother bringing an Hashem Toloi? Now, truthfully, the answer to that question could simply be that the fact that you may never find out the information, and therefore you'll never bring a chatat, and that's why you bring an Hashem Toloi. Therefore, the question might be more pointed, which is, if Yom HaKippurim provides the same kapara as an Hashem Toloi, and an Hashem Toloi is only good enough to bring you to the point where you find out the information, and then you have to bring a chatat, or similarly, if Yom Kippur passes, and then you find out the information, you have to bring a chatat, then what's the point of an Hashem Toloi? Just let Yom Kippur do the job, and it'll do whatever the Hashem Toloi was supposed to do, and then the chatat, when you find out about it, you'll bring it. So why bother with the Hashem Toloi? Some Reb Zera, Shemate below Avon. What happens if he dies before he gets to Yom HaKippurim? In that situation, the Hashem Toloi will eliminate the need for Kapara for that Avon because he took care of it with the Hashem Toloi, even though he didn't make it to Yom HaKippurim. Matkipla Rava, mate, Mita Mamreket. If he died, Mita provides Kapara. Part of the death process is a cleansing of one's sins because of the quote-unquote pain of the death, and Mita provides that type of Kapara. So if that's the case, you wouldn't need an Hashem Toloi to provide that kapara. It's to provide protection for him in the interim. So between the time that he gets this knowledge of this safek until Yom HaKippurim, he needs protection. If he doesn't do anything, that protection will only be provided once he reaches Yom HaKippurim. So for the interim time between the time of the Hashem Toloi until Yom HaKippurim, the Hashem Toloi will provide that haganah, that defense, or that protection for him. And therefore, we need all of these things. We need the Hashem Toloi to provide the temporary protection until Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim to provide the protection from there to forward until you get knowledge of the Chatat. Once you get knowledge of the Chatat, then there's a requirement that you bring the Chatat. Even though Yom Kippur can provide it, it only provided at a fixed time, which is at the time of Yom Kippur. Between the time you know the Safek and Yom Kippur, you need the Hashem Toloi to carry you over, protect you. And again, if it's a situation which we'll never know about the information, Yom Kippur will take care of that. But you still have that gap in time between your knowledge and the time of Yom HaKippurim. So our Mishnah said, Chatatov that comes in a Safek, im mishenimlika noda, if she only finds out about the information after the Melika, tikaver, then needs to be buried. Now, what did she find out? Amarav v'chiper. Rav says that she attained kapara. So the way that we're stating it now, Rav says that she found out that she really needed to bring a korban, and this korban works in order to discharge her obligation with regards to the leida vadait. Yochi. If Rav is right, then why is the Mishnah mighty kaver? Then why is it buried? Why then does the korban not eaten by the Kohanim, which was happens to a chatat of that's brought when there's an obligation to bring a chatat? Fisheina mishtameret. Because it wasn't guarded, as Rashi notes over here, there's a requirement of constant attention paid to the kodashim. If you have hesachadat, if anyone lose track or forgets about the kodashim, they become psulim. That either is because what Rashi says over here, we're afraid they became tmeim in the interim, or there might be just because of their level of kedusha, they need constant attention, and therefore the lack of that attention in of itself is problematic. So that's what we're worried about here. She was bringing it al safek, and since it was brought al safek, and they were going to eat it anyway, They didn't focus on it. They didn't keep their mind on it. And therefore, it became problematic. And that's why they have to bury it, even though now she's bringing it bivadaot. So, emat, lo mishtameret. When was it not guarded? Meaning, when was there hesek hadat? Imi kara chayavya. If it's beforehand, before the malika, then the animal's alive. While the animal's alive, it's not mikabel tuma. And also, it doesn't lose its status of kodoshim just because of hesek hadat. Ibla sof. If it's after malika, kamintala. She already knows now that it was brought by Da'it, and they're going to keep their eye on it because they know now that it was brought for the purposes of a Leida Vada'it, and that the Kohanim are going to eat it, and then they would have kept their eye on it. So where is the point in time where they got the information? Obviously, it has to be between Malika and the Avodat Adam with the Korban, because you need to do the Avodat Adam in a way that makes it into a Vada'it. So then where was the Hesek Hadat that took place here that disqualified this Chatat Ov, and therefore you have to bury it? It's over here where the Malika is done. And immediately after Malika, you have to do what's called the Hazat Adam, the blood shooting out of the bird onto the Mizbeach. And then the Mitzat Adam, which is pushing the head and the body of the bird against the side of the Mizbeach to do the Mitzoy Adam. And that has to be done in quick succession because otherwise there won't be any Dam to do the Hazat Adam as well as the Mitzoy Adam. Therefore, there's no real gap in time between the Malika, then where he found out that it's now being brought Vada'it and not as a Safek for them any Hesek Hadat. And therefore we assume that there was no Hesek Hadat over here because they already turned it into a Karban Vada'i before he had any chance to have Hesek Hadat. And once he knows it's a Korban of Vada'i, why is he going to have Hesek Hadat from the bird? Ella, the case is Matnitam B'Nodala Dolo Yalda. The case in the Mishnah has to be a case not where she found out that she needed to bring it B'Vada'ot, but rather it's a case where she found out that she did not need to bring it at all. She was bringing it Ala Safek. After Malika, she finds out that she didn't have a Leida, it wasn't a Leida that was Chayevet, and therefore it's no need to bring this Korban. Ubedinu du Mutar Bana. It should be Mutar Bana, because, Rashi explains over here, it's Chulin Gemurimu. Once you find out you didn't need to bring it, it's no longer Kodoshim, it is now Chulin, and Chulin are Mutarim Bana. Now, as far as eating it, you can't eat it because there's Malika done to it, which makes it into an Avela. So as far as that's concerned, you can't eat it, but Hanai should have gotten it. Now, you're going to tell me that's Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara, and Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara should be Asur not just Dirabonon, they should be Asur Midoraita. At least according to those that view that the problem of Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara is Doraita. So why over here is it telling us that it is Muteret Bana? So Rashi says over here that Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara is only a din in Shchita. Only if you do Shchita is it considered to be Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara. When you do Malika, that does not render something Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara, because it was not Nishchat. And therefore, it's not subject to the din of Kulin Shinishchatu Bazara. Mighty Kaver, so why does it need to be buried? Midrabanan. Midrabanan, they insisted that you bury it here, because they don't want people to think that you can get Hana from a Chatat Oaf that is brought ala Safek. Because a normal Chatat Oaf that was brought ala Safek is Asur Ba'ana'a, and therefore it would need to be treated in that manner. And over here, if you dig this safek chatat ov and then release it to chulin, people will get a mistaken impression as to what you're allowed to do with a chatat ov misafek. Midrabanan, they insist that you bury it. Although you could explain over here that the kvura midrabanan is exactly that. That chulin shenishchatu bazara is only subject to kvura midrabanan. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that it's a dindarabonon of chulin shenishchatu bazara. Now, b'chi itmar derav, then where was Rav's statement said that Amarav v'chiper, that you were successful at attaining kapara, ala isha, shevia chatata of b'safek. A woman who brings a chatata of misafek, imach lo nimleka. If before malika, no dala she yalda vadai, then we find out that she gave birth and she certainly needs to be in the korban, tase vadai. Then you make it into vadai, shemimin, shevia ala lohoda, mevia lohoda. Because the same korbanot that you bring for a safek leida, you bring for a vadai leida. Therefore, you can transform these korbanot from being a safek into a vadai, because you got the information before Malika. In Mishnik Malika, if after Malika, no da she yalda, we find out that she had a leida vadait, amarav mazedama, umotzedama, v'chipra, and muteret be'ichachila. Rav says, if you find out right after Malika, the kohen continues the processing of the chatata of, and he does the hazat adam, the mitzat adam, and it provides the kaparat that this woman needs from a leida vada'it, and the korban is mutar ba'achila, because now it's a not a chatat ha'of ha'safek, but rather it's a real chatat ha'of, and the kohanim can eat from the korban. Meaning that this is different than what we said over here, because in our case, in our Mishnah, they found out after the malika that she didn't need it. That's why it's tikaver. But in a case where we find out she did need it, then the din of the Mishnah would not be that tikaver, but rather muteret ba'achila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, asura ba'achila. Rabbi Yochanan says it is asura ba'achila, even though he agrees with Rav that you do all these items and it accomplishes the kabara, it's still asura ba'achila. Gzeira shema yomru chatat of abala safek nechelet. For the same reason that we say before tikaver, when we find out you don't need it, is because people are going to see a chatat of is a fake. You're not bearing it, but you're getting hanah from it. That'll be a mistake, because that's not true of a chatat of is a fake. Rabbi Yochanan says from the other side, if you allow them to eat it now, people will think that chatat of that's bala safek is eaten, and that's not true. And they won't understand that it became vadai after the melika. Tane Levi Kavati Darav. We have a braita from Levi that supports Rav's contention. Chatat of habaala safek. Im mishanimlika noda dalda vadai. If she finds out after the melika that she has to bring it vadait, that she definitely had a leida. Mazeh dama omotza dama vechipra. He does the haza'a and the mitzui l'shem vadai, and she gets the kapara and muteret ba'achila, like Rav said. Tane Kavati Darav Yochanan. We have a braita that supports Rav Yochanan's contention. Chatat of habaala safek. If it's before Malika, no da'la shalo yalda, she finds out the information that she didn't need to bring this. They say the chulin. The bird is released totally because there was only brought a less a fake. Now that we know you don't need it, it's released completely. Now that's as opposed to the case of the asham taloi, because by the asham taloi, it's coming for a kapara. And over there, the chachamim say gomer b'libo because libo no kfo. And there he makes it into ektesh. Over here, by a bird, the bird's not coming for kapara, the bird's coming for akshara. And even if you say there's an aspect of kapara to it, it's not the primary purpose of the chatat of here. And therefore, the person is not magdishit wholeheartedly, even according to the chachamim, until they absolutely need it, I mean, until they bring the korban. Before that point in time, if you find out they don't need it, then it goes out the chulin. Or because of the fact that it only comes ala safek, and it's not going to be eaten, as opposed to asham taloi, which is a full-fledged korban, that's why the individual still has reservations about their ekdesh, as opposed to the case of asham taloi. Oh, Timacher lechavrata, sells it off to her friend who needs such a korban. Imach lo nimlika noda ala shialda vadai. If she finds out before the melika that she definitely had a leida vadait now and she needs to bring a korbanot, taseh vadai, making it to korbanot leida vadai, she may be aloholda. Because the same things that you bring for a safek leida, you bring for a vadai leida. So just convert it into now a korban for a vadai leida. Im mishin nimlika noda shialda. If we find out after the Malika that she did give birth, over here you have to go into the Shita Mikubetz who brings the Girsa, here the proper Girsa, and you'd bet, Shilda, Mazeh, Umitza, you do the Haza'a, you do the Mitzat Adam, Medama, Vichipara, Basura Ba'achila. Then you do all the processing of the Korban, and it is Asura Ba'achila, like Rabbi Yochanan said. Then, another case is Mitzat Adama. If after the Hazat Adam and the Mitzui Adam, and then only then did you find out that she gave birth, Asura Afilu Behana'a, then it's not only just Asura Ba'achila, it's also Asura Afilu Behana'a. Because Ala Safek Ba Mitchila, because in the beginning it came to discharge a Safek, Kipra Sveka, and it did what it was supposed to do, the Halkala, and therefore it becomes a Chatat Of Ala Safek, which is Asura Behana'a. That's all you have, because it's similar to what we saw by the Egla Rufa. It comes for a safek. Once you've accomplished what it needs to do with safek, you can't now rewind and say, I don't need it anymore because it came for the safek and it did what it was supposed to do. And once you've completed already the processing of the bird at that point in time, it's already considered to be a chatat of safek and it attains the status of a surbana. Because it's a surah ba'achila, because maybe it's chulin and you did malika to it and it's a nevela. And it's a surbana because maybe it's kodesh and therefore you can't get any hana from it because it belongs to ekdesh. And since we don't know that, you can't then hand out Kodesh to the Klavim or get Hana from it. And so given that, it becomes Asura Ba'ana. And the Rabbeinu Gershom notes over here, Mutar Ba'ana. There's only an Isra Achila in that situation, like Rabbi Yochanan says, because of the Gzerah, but it's Mutar Ba'ana. Afagal Darminan Ein Podin La'Of. Even though in general we believe there's no such thing as Pidron by Of, only by a Behemah. Hacha came into Lokidcha the Gamre. Over here, since she never was full-hearted in her being Makdishit, De chetzia it avda b'safek v'chetzia vadai. Half of it was done b'safek, half of it was done b'vadai. Ilkach lo katsha kol kach. Therefore, she never gave it a full-fledged kedusha. Ve'eshla pidyon u'mutar ba'ana. Therefore, it has pidyon and it's mutar ba'ana. There's only an isser achila, like Rabbi Yochanan says, because of the gzerah, but it still remains mutar ba'ana. Aval. But in a case where mitzah dama nami misafek, she went through all the way through the whole processing, to the point where it was done ala safek, and then only afterwards do you know that it was now needed to be brought vadait, there it even becomes asur b'achila and hana'a, because it was brought ala safek, and it was separated out to be ala safek, and it was processed completely as a safek. Therefore, its mitzvah has been done. It did what it's supposed to do with safek, and therefore becomes not only asura b'achila, it also becomes asura b'hana'a. Okay, now the next mishnah. Mavrish betzlaim l'asham. Someone who segregated out two sela, which is the normal cost of an asham, as we know from the psukim that say by the asham mi'ilot, where it says, ve'vi'et ashamol ha'shem ayol tamim ratzom erkocha kesef shkalim. The minimum of shkalim is two. From there we learn out that the asham mi'ilot has to be two shekel. And then from there we learn to all the other ashamot, including the asham taloi, the asham gizelot, which are both found there, and also an asham shivcha harufa, either from the gzer shavu of erkocha, or the gzer shavu ayol ayol. The only two exceptions to that are the asham nazir and asham mitzor, which are not elim. They're brought from a keves, which is 1 year old, as opposed to an ayol, which is 2 years old. And since the Gemara says the 2 year old is two shkalim, then the asham nazir and asham mitzor, which are keves, only have to be worth one shekel. So here it's being about any one of the ashamot that has a requirement that it be for bet slayim. Now, the question of when that has to be is not clear. Does it have to be worth two slayim at the time that you buy it and you're magdish it? Or does it have to be at that value at the time of kapara? And that obviously will have impact on how to explain this mishnah. If you believe it has to be at the time of buying it, then the person is here buying at a discount to what the market price is, and then immediately the item has that market price that makes it the requisite amount for a korban asham. Or if you say it's only at the time of kapara, he buys it now, and then it appreciates to the point where it's worth those two sela at the moment that it is brought as a korban. So that's just as background to the mishnah. So here a person segregated out two slayim to buy an asham. Lakach lehem shnei elim, la asham. He used those two asham to buy two elim instead of one. And both of them were for ashamot. If one of them is worth two sela, which is the minimum value requirement of an asham, ikrav the ashamot. He can bring it as asham. Vasheni, yireach yistev. It goes out until it gets a mumi macher. It'll be sold, monetized, v'pludamav l'nidava. And those are motar and asham, because he only separated it out to bring one asham. And with it, he bought two ashamot. So that's the equivalent of being mafrish and asham l'achrayut. So the first asham goes on the mizbeach. The other one then is, goes to the motar asham that goes to the nidava. Now again, the way that we'd explain it is either when he bought it, the person discounted the animal stamp so that they were immediately worth two sela after he bought them, even though he paid two sela for two of them, one of them had the value alone of two sela, or it appreciated its value all the way till the time of kapara, and then we learn from this that you can get benefit from shevach hekdesh in terms of your kapara. And since it already reached the threshold of two sela by the time he brings it as a korban, he can use that as a korban asham. And the excess, or the other animal, will be motar asham, which is given to the nidava. But then, lakach lehem shnei elim, if he did the same thing, he purchased two elim with the monies, but the chulin. Instead of buying them for what he was supposed to do, which was an asham, he bought them the chulin, which means that he was mo'el in the money. He had two sela, and now he misappropriated that money and bought two animals with chulin. Echad yafeh betzlaim, one of the animals now is worth two sela. Echad yafeh asara zuz, and the other one is worth 10 zuz, which is the equivalent of 2.5 sela. Hayafesh teislaim, the one that is worth two sela, yikrav la'ashamo, should be brought as his asham. Here there's a machloket in the Mefarshei Mishnah, as well as yikrav la'ashamo means that you bring it as the original asham that you intended, which is the view of the Bartanura. And then, vasheni l'mi'ilato. And the second one he'll bring for his asham mi'ilot, but we'll see in the Gemara that they're going to change what that means. Or, the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it, and many of the other Rishonim read it, is that the first one is Yikrav L'Ashamo, means for his Asham Mi'ilot, and Asheni will be L'Mi'ilato, means for the original Asham that he was supposed to bring, that'll be L'Mi'ilato. If instead of spending the money buying two animals of Chulin, he bought Echad L'Asham v'Echad L'Chulin. He brought one for an Asham and one for Chulin. Imayashal Asham Yafesh Teislaim, if the one that he bought for the Asham is now worth two sela, Yikrav L'Ashamo, there it should be brought as an Asham. Here, everybody agrees L'Ashamo means the original Asham he intended. That makes the Bartanura's explanation more consistent, because he reads Ashamo here as being the original one, and he reads Ashamo before as also being the original one. Whereas the way the Reino Gershom reads it, the Ashamo before was his Asham Ilot, and the Ashamo that's brought over here is for the original Asham. So the word Ashamo changes its meaning between the two cases in the Mishnah. But there is a reason to do that, which we'll see in the Gemara, because it's somewhat compelling to say that the second one is the original Asham and not the Asham Ilot. And the second one he brings for his korban mi'ilah, meaning that he has to now bring an asham mi'ilot. So he has one that's chulin. He could now be makdishit and bring it for his korban mi'ilah. And then he has to pay back hekdesh, because part of misappropriating hekdesh or being moel is that you have to bring a korban a shami lot, which he's doing. But you also have to repay hekdesh. You have to give him back the keren, and you have to give him back the chomesh, a penalty of a fifth as well. He has to bring one and a fifth of value back for that which he did, bechulin. Over here, he misappropriated one sella, because he used one sella to buy the ashami he was supposed to, and the other sella for chulin. So he misappropriated a sella, he has to bring 1.25 sella, which is a sella and a zuz, in order to repay hektesh, aside from the asham that he was originally chayav to bring, plus the asham ilot, which he's now going to bring from this animal that is chulin. So the Gemara says here, my milato diktani reisha. What is the meaning of the word milato in the middle case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah clearly has a case in the middle which calls it ashamo and milato, and has the latter case where it calls it ashamo and milato. The meaning of milato in those two cases seems to be different, and that's what the Gemara is trying to clarify over here. What is the meaning of the word milato in that middle scenario? My milato de tani reisha, basheni the milato, when it says the second one goes milato. Ilema el asham, if you say it goes towards the asham mi'ilot, meaning that the ashamo means asham that he was once chayav, basheni the milato means the asham mi'ilot. The member of the chomesh bahadi ayo maitile, you're telling me that the chomesh comes together with the asham mi'ilot, and it doesn't come together with the repayment of the principal. That which he took away from Kodesh, he has to replace. And then you add an additional fifth on top of that. So the amount that you need to add on is on the principle that was stolen, not on the Hashem Milot that you're bringing. It goes along with the principle that's stolen, not with the Korban Hashem Milot. And Rashi notes over here, if you just bring the Pasuk, you would have thought maybe where you got Hana'ah from, whether it's Kodesh Beregabayit or Kodesh Olah, that's where you can't add on the chomesh to the asham ilot, because you have to bring the chomesh similar to the keren, that which you got benefit for. So the chomesh has to have the same character as the keren. But over here, where the keren itself was an asham, and you benefited from misappropriating monies of an asham, maybe over there, since you bring an asham ilot, you can add on the chomesh on top of that. That's what the second proof here comes to dispel in bringing that proof from the Mishnah, and that is, v'od tani seifa. And then it also says in the Seifa, Echad Hashem, Ve'echad Chulin, in that case where it's one that he purchased for an Hashem, the other one the Chulin, Hayashel Hashem Yafesh Tei Slaim Yikrav LaHashemo, then he brings the one for two Slaim that he bought for the Hashem as his original Hashem, Vasheni LeMilato, and the second one he brings as his El Hashem, meaning the Hashem Mi'ilot, Ve'avi'ima Selav Achom Shah, and then he's got to pay one and a fifth on top of that. Alma Chomesh Vadik Zelo Maitile. You see there that the Chomesh is attached to the repayment of the principal, not to the asham mi'ilot. Ela my mi'ilato. What is the mi'ilato meaning in that second case, the middle case of the Mishnah? Didhani mehekdesh, that which he benefited from hekdesh. So what did he benefit from hekdesh? V'yeshno mishtei slaim dafrishinu l'asham. He was mo'el. He misappropriated hekdesh in that middle case from two sela, because he has set aside or segregated two sela for an asham. L'kach lehem shnei ilim l'chulein. And then he bought two for chulein, so he misappropriated both slaim. The afesh de slaim, the one that's worth two slaim, makriv le el asham. Which according to the Rabbeinu Gershom means you bring it for the asham mi'ilot that you're chayav. Vasfa asara zuz, yahiv le the ma'idi tani mehekdesh. And then with the one that is worth 10 zuz, he'll bring the original asham that he had. Tavile gzelo v'chom sho. Because then that will be the original principle plus a fifth on top of that. And my milato, and then what's the meaning of the word milato? Gezelo, that which he was nitane mihekdesh, that which he took from hekdesh. So in this explanation, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, the first korban that he brings with the two sela asham is the asham mi'ilot that he is chayav to bring. With the ten zuz, he brings the asham that he originally was chayav to bring. That original asham was only chayav to bring from two sela, because that's what he misappropriated. Now then he bought it from chulin, two sela, that he's now making into this new asham, as are also repayment of the principal that he took from Hekdesh. And in that repayment of principal, if he brings an animal that is worth more, he's making an animal that's now worth one and a fifth, it accomplishes both the repayment of his debt to Hekdesh and the bringing of the original asham, plus the additional fifth that he's putting on top of that. That is because a sarat zuz is one and a fifth. Each sela is worth four zuz. So two sela is eight zuz. And one-fifth is really 25%, and not 20%, because it's the 20% of the total amount afterwards. So therefore, if you take one-quarter of eight zuz, that's two zuz. 10 zuz. Those two zuz are 1/5 of the total amount afterwards, and that's equal to the amount that he has to repay for the principal and the chomesh. That's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it, and in that way, he actually repays the principal and a fifth, plus brings the asham that he was chayav originally, all together in a single package, and by doing so, he now accomplishes asham ilot with the first animal that was worth 2 selah, the asham that he was originally chayav with the second 2 selah, meaning 8 zuz of it, and the ejection 2 zuz is the chomesh on top of it. And that value now, which is 1 1/5, will be the repayment of his principal and chomesh through the asham that he was originally supposed to bring, that now he's replacing and bringing it with worth 1/5 more than the original asham that he intended to bring. And the reason the Rabbeinu Gershom says this is because, in general, whenever you get hana'ah from hekdesh, the karen and chomesh that you replace has to be similar in nature to the hana'ah that you got. So, in a case where you're misappropriating bedek habayit, you have to pay back cash to bedek habayit. In a case where you misappropriated something that is hekdesh mizbeach, you have to replace that with hekdesh mizbeach, and that hekdesh mizbeach then has to have the chomesh added on top of that. And that's exactly what the Rabbeinu Gershom is describing over here. Here you misappropriated 2 selah that were going towards an asham. So now you have to pay it back by bringing that asham. That's the principal amount, bringing an asham to mizbeach, and adding on a chomesh on top of that. And that's what you have here exactly with the asarazuz. You're going to use that to bring the korban asham that you're originally chayav, plus the chomesh along with it, because it's all aggregated now into a single animal that you can bring as the asham that you originally had planned to. Now you're replacing the principal with a chomesh on top of it of that which you misappropriated. And therefore, if there was no animal that was worth asara zuz, you'd have to actually go out into the market and buy an animal of that value, because you simply could not take this animal, be makrivit, worth 2 selah, and then throw on 2 zuz on top of that to give to the hekdesh, because then the chomesh is not coming from the item that the principal is coming for. The principal you're replacing by bringing a new korban asham that's only worth 2 selah. The chomesh now you're bringing is just money that's going to hekdesh. You need them to be the chomesh part and parcel of the principal. And that's why, only because here there is a animal worth asara zuz, that it works. If you didn't have that animal, you'd have to go out into the market and purchase an animal with that value. That's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it. On the other hand, the Bar Tanura reads it as the first asham is the asham that you were supposed to bring originally, and the asara zuz are used to repay the principal and a fifth. And then you'll still have to bring the asham mi'ilot separately from that. But these monies will be used towards the principal and a fifth. He doesn't think you can combine the repayment of the principal and a fifth together with the bringing of the asham that you were originally chayav. Because in the way that Rabbeinu Gershom explains it, you're able to accomplish both of them through a single payment. By buying a korban that is now worth 10 zuz, you accomplish both the repayment of the principal and a fifth, plus the bringing of the original asham. Whereas for the Bar Tanura, all of those items remain separate. It's just that you use the 10 zuz now because that equals the value of the principal and a fifth. Use that towards your repayment to principal. The first one that you buy that's worth 2 selah is the original asham, and then you have to bring an asham mi'ilot. Now the Gemara says, "B'mayu klimta l'milato d'reisha." Now that you explain the mila d'reisha as gezelo, for the way that Bar Tanura explains it, it's literally gezelo. It's the repayment of the principal and the chomesh on top of that. For the Rabbeinu Gershom, means gezelo means the one item that you originally misappropriated, meaning the korban that you had separated out the 2 selah for. That misappropriation is what you're bringing with this. That's the gzelo. Ema seifa. Then how you can explain the latter case in the Mishnah? Echad asham ve'echad chulin. You have one that you bought for asham and one for chulin. Emaya shel asham yafesh tei slaim yikra avda ashamo. If the one that you bought for asham is worth 2 selah now, he brings that as his asham because that's the original monies of hekdesh. It was utilized towards the asham, and now he has an asham that can be brought for the original one. That's the original asham. Vasheni the mi'ilah. And the second one is the mi'ilah. Now over here, the meaning of mi'ilah must mean an asham mi'ilot. Because it says there, v'yavim ha'selah v'chomsha. Because there it says you have to bring the principal and the fifth on top of it, alma mi'ilato el asham. That means the meaning of mi'ilato in that latter case in the Mishnah is mi'ilato means asham mi'ilot. In the latter case in the Mishnah, it's a different scenario because of the misappropriation that you did. You spent money already on the asham. That money is the primary asham, and that means that the money that you misappropriated was not actually monies of an item that would go on his back, but rather motar asham. Because you have sufficient value in the asham that you purchased to be your asham that you originally intended for. The excess monies that are left over would have gone motar asham, and motar asham goes on nidava. So now when you have to pay your keren and chomesh, that keren and chomesh has to go le nidava. So now, if you take the monies from the second animal, and then you bring it as an asham mi'ilot, the asham mi'ilot, you can't just add on money on top of that and make it into a chomesh, because the asham mi'ilot is going on the mizbeah, has nothing to do with the korban that you brought before, it's not going le nidava. Therefore, in that latter case, you use the two sela to pay for the asham mi'ilot, and then you bring a keren of the chomesh that falls the nidava to bring olot on the mizbeah, because that's what would have happened to an amotar asham. Because had you never been moel in that sela, it would have ended up in the davah. And in this latter scenario, it doesn't make sense to say if one of them is worth a sela and a zuz, meaning it's worth the keren v'chomesh, that you can do anything with it. Because as far as the first asham is concerned, any excess that you have of money that's there is shevach hekdesh. Shevach hekdesh belongs to hekdesh, doesn't belong to you. You may be able to get kapara from it, but you can't use that money or utilize that money for yourself. Therefore, if the value of the first one that you bought went up, that's all you're going to do. Just bring an asham that's worth more money because it belongs to Hekdesh. And then if the second set of money was utilized towards the asham mi'ilot and it was in excess of two sela, that excess money doesn't help you because you need to get the monies to the nidava and it has to be associated with the keren that's going to the nidava. Here you're bringing the asham mi'ilot to the mizbeach and that's not going to help you to add on a chomesh or it has value in excess of two sela. That can't accrue to your benefit because you don't need it to go to the Mizbeach, you need it to go to Nidava. And therefore you can't utilize that as your Chomesh. And that's why that latter case in the Mishnah insists that you put the Chomesh together with the Keren and not put the Chomesh together with the Korban, whether it is the first Asham or the Korban Asham Me'ilot, neither of those will succeed at working because the Chomesh needs to be attached to the Keren and the Keren has to replace that which you misappropriated. In this case, you misappropriated Motar Asham, which goes to Nidava, and that's what the Keren has to go to, and therefore the Chomesh itself also has to be added to that amount, and not be added to some other Korban that you are bringing that has nothing to do with Motar Sham Nidava. So now you're giving two different meanings to the word Mi'ilah. The word Mi'ilah in the middle case means the amount that you misappropriated, whereas in the latter case, it is the El Asham, the Asham Mi'ilot. Reisha Karile the Mi'ilato Gzelo. In the middle case, calls the Mi'ilah a reference to the gzelah, the amount that you misappropriated. Again, for the partenur, that means literally the principal amount that you're going to repay. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's going to be the animal that you bring as the original asham that will act as the gzelah. That's the value that you need to return to the mikdash plus the fifth on top of that. But then sefer kar le'milah to'el asham. And then in the sefer, using the word mi'ilah to mean asham mi'ilot. Rabbeinu says, yes, eino chanami. But there's an explanation for that. Because the Tana has to distinguish between the two Ashamot. He has an Asham Mi'ilot and the original Asham. And he uses the terminology Ashamo and Mi'ilato to differentiate between them. So in the Reisha case, the Habilei El Dizavan, the Girsa probably should not be Ruban, but rather Dizavan. Reisha, the Habilei Ayel Dizavan, Keren V'chomesho. In the middle case of the Mishnah, where the Ayel that he purchased is now worth the value of the Keren and the Chomesh, therefore Karilei the Mi'ilato, Gzelo. That's why he used the term Mi'ilah to describe the theft, which the Bartanur means the monies that he owes to Hekdesh, the principal plus the Chomesh, or according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it means the Asham that he's now bringing that he should have brought before with additional value in it so that it covers the Keren B'Chomesh. Therefore, he calls it Mi'ilato to tell you that this extra Tasarazuz is taking care of the problem of Mi'ilah. It's taking care of the issues that you have. Seifa, the Lohavi Ayo, the Zavan, Keren V'Chomesh. In the Seifa where the Chulin one that he purchased is not equal to the Keren V'Chomesh because it is worth more than a Keren V'Chomesh. Keren V'Chomesh in the Seifa, there's only a misappropriation of a Sela. That would mean you need to be at a Sela and a Zuz to take care of the Keren V'Chomesh. And it's worth two Sela. So over there, it makes sense to say that the mi'ilato over there is not the gzelo, but rather the asham mi'ilot. Because if you don't bring the asham mi'ilot, then you're going to actually end up paying more. Because if you give this two tzela towards your keren v'chomesh, which means you're paying more than you need to, you're still going to have to bring an asham mi'ilot worth two tzela. And so therefore you'll end up paying six tzela instead of making the first asham, the asham that you were supposed to bring, the second animal that you bought now make it into the asham mi'ilot, which is two tzela. And then you just have to add on a sela and a fifth afterwards, which is a sela and a zuz. So then you'd only have to pay five sela and one zuz. So it doesn't make sense to make that animal that's worth two sela into your keren v'chomesh. And therefore, he defines the asham mi'ilot as mi'ilato. So it has to do with the context of the case. in the case where it's equal to the Keren V'Chomesh, therefore it makes sense to utilize it towards the Keren V'Chomesh, there it calls the Keren V'Chomesh Mi'ilato as a reference to Gzeilato, which according to the Bar Tanur means the principal and Chomesh you have to pay back. According to the Beinu Gershom, the animal that you need to replace that you misappropriated, and now you have to replace that Hasham, coming at a higher value. Whereas in the Seifa, where the second animal, which you're going to bring, the Mi'ilato, is greater than the value of the Keren V'Chomesh, it makes sense there to say that Mi'ilato is a reference to the Hasham Mi'ilah. Okay, we're going to stop here, five lines down on the top of Chazayin, Amud Aleph.